Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As you know, the lectern is here because in the distribution of gifting, the height didn't reach there. So we have to bring it here so I'll be able to get seen and not swallowed behind. Yeah. It's such a wonderful pleasure to be sharing the scriptures with you today. And I am so pleased that we are talking on this passage today. But before we start, I just want to ask two questions. And the first question is, what is standing in your way of getting baptized today? Or affirming your baptism? Or being confirmed? And the second one is, are you Philip in the story that we heard earlier on? I've seen most of the time when I'm introduced as we need the ordinand, which means that I'm in a vicar's college, training to become a vicar. But this journey did not start just yesterday. It started a long time ago. And I'd like to share a story with you. About 13 years ago, my life was very different. And if any of you may have some of this time, there's something called BC, before Christ. I call that time of my life before Christ time. Not that I didn't know Christ or I didn't have faith. I did. Actually, I was born into a Christian home. And I was raised in a Christian home, baptized. But I didn't have a personal relationship with God. I found myself being in a very distraught place because life was, in my words, falling apart. I had just become a single parent. And I felt the Lord was really speaking to me and doing something in my life. So I decided to commit my life again, and I wanted to do life through the eyes of my daughter, doing life with her. So at the age of 6-7 months, I decided to get her baptized. So I approached the church I had been going for the past 7 years to say, I want to baptize my child. I was very shocked with the response I got. I was told that I don't come to the church, they don't know me, therefore I need to do baptism lessons. And I'm like, look, I am very happy to do baptism lessons. Actually, it would be good for me. But I do come to this church. There was back and forth. And the hardest question I was asked was, are you sure you just don't want to get a certificate to send your daughter to a church school? Because people from your community tend to do that a lot. And I'm like, no, that is not it. Actually, I started with a name dropping. So I started to give a backstory. I said, look, I was born into a Christian home. My father is a headmaster. He's actually PCC chairperson. He's actually did a church plant. So I am from a Christian home. It didn't score me the baptism. So I had to go to the lessons. Why do I say this? Because God was already doing something in my life. He knows my character. So if he was to say, Winnie, you know what? I think it's time you think this, I would have said no. So I went through this process in a way, challenged me, like, do I want to prove a point? But no, I actually needed to turn my life around. So we did the baptism lessons. And during the process, I felt something deeper. And I said, you know what? I want to get baptized with my daughter. So that process went through. And on the day of the baptism, another thing happened that I nearly did not. And I remember saying, just like Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I'm doing this baptism today. So we did the baptism. And the most significant thing in my Christian life happened. I had a Holy Ghost encounter that day. Shall we pray? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, pictures of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Amen. We've heard this amazing story from Acts chapter 8. An encouraging account of the gospel breaking through ethnic cultural barriers. In this narrative, Luke gives us a powerful picture of how good news about Jesus Christ can transform even the most unlikely people. As the young church spread from Jerusalem, an incredible evangelistic encounter involving Philip and the traveling eunuch. This passage showcases the gospel ability to cross ethnic and social divides by the power of God. Let us walk through this compelling story together. I want us to look at one thing first, the divine orchestration. The story of the eunuch conversion ends where it began, God's presence and direct intervention. Right from the start, verse 26, we see the hands of God orchestrating his outreach opportunity. It begins with an angel of the Lord directing Philip to make his way towards the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. This was no random circumstances. Then in verse 29, the Spirit specifically told Philip to go over to the chariot that is carrying the Ethiopian eunuch, a court official serving under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. Philip immediately obeyed the Holy Spirit prompting, putting him in a position for a crucial encounter. This reminds us that the advancement of the gospel does not merely happen through human planning and missionary efforts alone. Instead, God directs and opens up evangelistic opportunities through his sovereign design. The spread of the good news is fundamentally the work of the Holy Spirit. Another thing I want us to look at is the unlikely seeker. Now, who is this Ethiopian eunuch that God is pursuing? He was a man of great standing in community, a court official in charge of the whole entire treasury of a wealthy Ethiopian kingdom. He was returning from worshiping in Jerusalem, indicating that he is a religious seeker and a student of the Jewish scripture. However, as a eunuch, he would have been excluded from complete conversion and citizenship in Israel. The Old Testament law in Deuteronomy 23 prohibited eunuchs from entering into the assembly of the Lord. In the Jewish mind, he was seen as an unlikely candidate, outcast for inclusion among God's people. You see, God does not see humans as we do. His redemptive purpose extends far beyond ethnic, culture, and social barriers. Despite the eunuch's position in society, God was lovingly and intentionally engaging, involving, and pursuing him with the gospel. I also want us to look at the messianic prophecy. So what was this man studying as his chariot traveled across the wilderness? Luke tells us in verse 28 that he was reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. More specifically, Philip heard him pondering over the meaning of Isaiah's sovereign servant prophecy in chapter 53. This powerful passage, which emphasized the death of the Messiah, is what Philip used as a starting point to explain the good news about Jesus. From what I have been told, and in college, we are thought to start off maybe from John's gospel, because it's, or Mark, which is soft, gentle, and easy to understand. But no. Philip started from Isaiah, prophetic words. You may need a bit of understanding to break through that. Beginning with this very scripture, Philip boldly proclaimed the gospel to the eunuch. Just picture the scene. Philip likely expanded on the key verses in Isaiah 53, verse 5 to 6, that says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Through the scripture illumination, this ancient prophecy took on flesh, meaning as Philip unveiled how it was perfectly fulfilled in Jesus, the sinless Son of God who suffered, died, and rose again to atone the sins and giving life to all who believe in him. I also want us to look at a prompt profession. As they traveled on the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch promptly responded to the gospel with readiness and joy. In verse 36, he asked, "Here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" This decisive question reveals a heart that had already been converted. Having received Christ's soul-saving message, the eunuch did not hesitate to publicly identify with the newfound faith through the believer's baptism. Philip obliged, and we read in verse 38 that both of them went down into the water and Philip baptized him. This rich symbolism of being immersed in water of baptism picture the eunuch's participation in Christ's own death, burial, and resurrection to a new life. In this act, he visibly professed his commitment to Jesus, having been spiritually united in Christ and transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. What an inspiring example of prompt obedience. Now let's look at abiding joy. Now, how did this powerful conversion experience impact the eunuch? Verse 39 gives us a glimpse, saying, "He went on his way rejoicing, having encountered the life-changing truth of the gospel." This eunuch officially was flooded with joy. What am I saying here? True, deep-seated, lasting joy comes only through salvation in Jesus Christ. When the burden of sin is lifted, and the light of God's grace shine into a person's life, it produces supernatural joy and gladness of heart. This former seeker had finally found ultimate meaning, forgiveness, and hope in the Messiah, resulting in great rejoicing. The same gospel that brought such joy to the eunuch's life is available to everyone today, including myself, and anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. What an incredible testimony of God's power to draw someone to himself. It is only God who can open our hearts and the hearts of peoples towards truth. You see, when I was asked during the baptism that I wasn't known, I was really challenged. And it struck me that it's not a person's fault that they didn't know me. Like I said, before Christ time, when I go to church, I used to sit right at the back of the church. By the time the last hymn is about to finish, I'm out. One of the places that I used to go, please don't tell anyone. I used to go to the Strand, a place called Smolensky. Go and have an amazing time with jazz time and all sort of things. I used to party, go and sit at a friend's house, gossip, drink, talk about all sort of nonsense. And that moment really struck me that I need to do things differently. So I started moving from the back, and bit by bit, I ended up in the front. And I started serving to the point of ending up on PCC. The point I'm saying is, God was doing something in my life. That person was just a vessel that was used to challenge me. Although some of the things she said was painful, it was a challenge. So to draw to conclusion of my talk, this is what I want us to take. No person is too far away or too unlikely for God to pursue with his grace. The gospel can break through to anyone, wherever the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. If you have not experienced the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ, I urge you to respond to him today, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did centuries ago. Receiving the gospel, identifying with Christ through baptism, and go on your way rejoicing. So I'll ask that question again. What is standing in your way of getting baptized or affirming your baptism or getting confirmed? And my second question, are you Philip? Who are you reading the Bible with? Who are you walking into faith? Just so you know, on Thursdays, we have this amazing cafe called Hope Cafe right here, with amazing sandwiches. And at 12:30, there's a Bible study just right there. Is there anyone you would like to invite? Or would you like to come and be part of that community? Would you like to do just as Philip did? There is always peace and joy in the Lord. So the last words that I will say is this. Jump in, and he will lead you on. There is nothing standing in your way. Jump in, and the Lord will lead you on. Just jump in. And if any of the things I've shared today is challenging or you want to respond to it, Susan is here, will be willing to talk to you about baptism. Ben is there. You can come and talk to me as well. But before you do, pray before you come. So we'll have an amazing conversation. Shall we pray? Just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. Just as we are. Just as you are. Come to the Lord. And He is ready to receive you. There is no condemnation. There is no tick box. Just come. Just as you are, and be transformed, just as the eunuch did. And let us rejoice in the Lord together, for the Lord is good, and His power transcends all things. He's able to do more than we can ask of. So jump in with the Lord. Amen.